Jackie, what's going on?
Jeff, finally.
Yeah. By the way, I never know how to pronounce your name. Is it Leahy? Leahy?
Leahy, like Jackie Leahy, who, if you're yodeling.
I like that. I like that. I'm not much of a yodeler, but maybe in another life I was.
Yeah.
Cool. So I've been waiting to do this, activate the magic with you. Obviously, the name of your firm. Tell me a little bit about you and the firm, and how'd you come up with the name?
Yeah, so I may or may not be a witch, but basically how I see the world is every human is sitting on a pile of gold, right? Everyone has just so much brilliance, and it's really just about activating that. So that's how I look at the world. And so it's like activate the magic of operational brilliance, of feminine brilliance, of togetherness brilliance. Yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb and say you're a glass half full kind of gal.
Yes.
Well, cool. So I'm rocking my Trailblazer sweater today for the folks listening on the pod. They can't really see it. And I look to you to find a lot of really good technical competence. And, you know, I know you look to others for like architecture, but I'm curious, you know, when you think about the early days and when you walked into like quote unquote RevOps or supporting go-to-market teams, how did you pick up the craft, the trade, you know, as a baby duckling? How'd you get over the hill?
I originated my baby duckling story actually started at my first startup when I drove the sales ops manager absolutely insane. Like I was the literal bane of his existence, right? He was like, let's do a pilot, Jackie, at insidesales.com, right? Like, Jackie, you, if anything can be broken, you'll break it. So I'll put you on the trial. And I was like, great. And I was like, I hate it. No. And this is why. And he was like, no. But I'm like, nope. So I like anything that could be broken, I would break it. And so my path to RevOps was more out of, I was going to break it. So in order to not make so many people so mad, I should also help them fix it. But then at my second startup, I was promoted to SDR manager over a weekend. So
no way. Okay.
I was an SDR, promoted on Friday afternoon, came back the following Monday to like run the team that I was part of. Shout out to the sales development playbook, the book that got me through. And it was kind of in there that what are lead routing? What is lead routing? And what are those rules? So that was the first time I kind of got exposed to the back end of Salesforce. And our VP of finance at the time, he's like, Jackie, what Salesforce consultants do you know? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, this, you should know how to do this. I'm like, what? Like, so it's almost like my like destiny was like flashing and I just couldn't see it. And then the third startup that I was at, hire number 10, the first lady brought on to build the BDR team. I came in at 350K ARR, and in less than 2 years, we were at 9 million ARR. We didn't have a marketing hire, and it was all cold outbound prospecting. And it was in that process like where I realized that I was a really good BDR, right? But that would only get this much increment, right? And then I could like coach and lead, run a team. I hired and trained a team, and then this much. But then I realized when I could like operationalize the process by which I like weaponized our team's friendliness and brilliance, right? Like just click this and then do that. And then that was just such a much, much bigger impact. So in those early days, I was introduced to Phoebe Farmer, one of the OGs of sales ops and rev ops. We had a VP of customer success who I think saw the flashing sign of like my destiny. And he was like, hey, can I introduce you to Phoebe Farmer? And we went out for lunch. And that's when I learned about like rev ops. And I just naturally was just like, but how does this in the back end of Salesforce? When, you know what the first time it really clicked is when somebody showed me that because it was the first time I was in the Lightning experience at that third startup, Link Squares, that the Lightning layout could be changed. So like we just had
Once
this.
it loaded, you mean? Once it actually
Yeah,
hit.
once it loaded, like, but and then you can change the layout like for when it does load, right? So we just had like the standard. You open it up and it's like chatter or whatever or related lists. I think how it naturally opens up, and I just thought that was like, wait, you can change that, and then I was like, well, I really want this to happen. And his name is Jonathan on that Phoebe's RevOps. She was running a community and an in-person community here in Boston. And he's like, oh, it sounds like a job for process builder. I'm like, what's that?
Rest in peace.
And so like I was a baby duckling. I was like a feral baby duckling out in the wild. Do not recommend. Do not recommend that path for anyone. But just people would get on a Zoom and show me how to do things. Billy Polsino would do that. Just like I would just get lost in w quotes related, pro like all of the maze and the clicking, and just I didn't know what I didn't know. And sometimes I would just need someone to be like that button there.
It felt like you were living in the Matrix, and then someone showed you how to escape, right? So for
Yeah.
example, I had hired a couple of folks who were conversions from the SDR team over at a company called Patient Pop, where I work. And same thing, some folks rose their hands up and said, "Hey, look, I would love to learn a little bit more about ops. Great, I'll give you a little bit of leash, give you a sandbox, start playing around with things, shoot some ideas to me." And sure enough, I'd find that they would have some of the best ideas. I don't know why leads come to me the way they do or at what time. And if I don't respond to them, what happens to them? They die on the vine. I wish I could reroute them. Just really simple, sensible, recommendations. And you'd sit there and show them, well, you could do that. Here's how you would enable that inside of the back end. And their eyes would light up. And then
That was
as soon as
me.
you showed
That was
them,
me.
yeah, as soon as you showed them outreach, or sales loft, same thing, magic moment. They're like, that's why these things are happening. Got it. Let me help clean up the gunk works. Let me reroute the pipes. Let me figure out how to flash it to different folks. And guess what? The reporting that the managers are looking at, they're talking about the wrong things each week with me. We need to be prioritizing these talking points each week. Let's focus on your task list, getting through your backlog, and then how to create what are the right time blocks. 8 to 10 a.m. should be for this, 10 to 11 for that. How to organize your day. So those are things that I learned working with SDRs. And quite frankly, I think it's a difficult role nowadays with demand falling off a cliff for many
Oh
different
God.
software companies. And it is
Oh.
the hardest role, even in the go-go days. So I definitely appreciate, what SDRs have done. And I especially appreciate the ones who decided to say, there's a little bit of science and art in me. And I would love to, streamline these processes. Can I work with you on the ops side of the house? That's just really interesting.
Oh gosh, what I would have done for someone to be a responsible leader as I was that feral duckling, I didn't, Jeff, I had no idea what a sandbox was until like at least 9 or 10 months into being in the back end. Like I did a full on territory thing based on case formulas.
No
And
way.
in a lot of those case formulas, there's too many characters, so I'd have to do like
That's a lost in the
multiple.
sauce project waiting to happen right there.
I did it by city name, not zip code.
Did you do concatenation of city and state, or because there got to be multiple cities
Well,
in the same name?
the only state that had more than one territory assignment was California. So everything else was state-based, but then when it got to California, I think we had like four case formulas to it was like we had a blue territory and an orange territory, the two colors. And I didn't have a good way to know whether something was north or south California. So we happened to have an intern over the summer. It was like somebody's nephew or something. And I was like, okay, I have a project for you. Like, here's all the cities that we have. Like, we happen to have in Salesforce. Here are all the California city names. Will you please go through them and either say north or south next to each of them?
That makes sense. When you think about data as a pillar for decision making, you have to ground your CRM in reality. And I think it's part of it is the learning. So you're building this firm, Activate the Magic. You're starting
Yes.
to scale a team with your partner, Heather, or is that right? Your business
Heather
partner?
Sands.
That's
Yes.
right. That's cool.
Yes.
So you're building a bench of well-known folks. And I'd be happy to hear, how you're thinking about constructing, a team of equals, a team of rivals working together towards, solving some really interesting projects.
Yeah. So the amazing thing about the RevOps community is we love each other, right? The people who are curious are just the best. So I'm able to get like the best of the best. Like talent, yes, but like in off the charts curiosity, off the charts generosity, just like I don't know how you qualify for adorable. Like what I was just getting feedback from a client a couple weeks ago, and she's like, you guys are awesome. Not just like obviously like really high quality work, but like just culturally. And it like that is everything. My primary, like we all have to know our currency, right? Like I feel like we're supposed to like dollar bills are supposed to be our like currency. But like for me, it really is, it sounds weird, but like learning and like joy sprinkling. And just creating that and being surrounded by that. And it's like, and creating something sustainable and where it's a win-win-win for like me and Heather, right? Like the owners, and our bench of magicians and also the clients. So creating those win-win-wins and just trusting that the absolute right clients will be paired with. And building it sustainably so we can really focus on learning and connecting and building something so fun and so different.
I love that. I think the concept of working on something that you're passionate about, it never feels like work. And so, you're always pushing the frontier, right? So with startups, I think I think for the most part, we talked about this, you're starting targeting these 75 to 200 employee companies. And so their tech stack is not necessarily going to have, the most expensive tools in there. And so you have to start thinking about, what can I feasibly unlock in terms of capability within the efficient frontier of my budget? And so I'm curious, what's the most common combination of tech stack that you're seeing?
HubSpot, Salesforce,
Oh,
always.
interesting. A 1-2 combo.
Oh, the 1-2 punch. I endorse it.
Yeah, I've been in HubSpot now for a couple of years, and I have to say, as a CRM, it's starting to quite improve and meet a lot of the mid-market enterprise features that I have been looking for. Have you been working? I know you've been shouting out a bunch of sales engagement platforms as well. Is there like a third player in the mix when it comes to the tech stack?
Well, I see a lot of outreach. That's kind of like the crowd favorite. If you were to ask me what should I get for an SEP, I would recommend Groove, or none of the above. Not that I have a replacement for you, but just it's kind of just such a big question mark in terms of what will outbound prospecting even look like in like March. I don't know. Like WhatsApp? I don't know. What are we doing now? I don't know.
Yeah, I think the idea of tech stack is an interesting one. Folks are quite religious with different tools, or they talk their book, right? Obviously, if you're a Salesforce consultant, you're going to recommend Salesforce. If you've been using HubSpot, you're going to use HubSpot. But for the most part, a lot of these tools have some feature parity to them. They're going to be good enough. And then how you fill in the details to match your business process is what I always find to be the art, and to enable the ultimate outcome, which is, business results. And I quite frankly find some value in tools. I've actually implemented and used Groove a couple of times, and I liked it because of its native integrations into both Salesforce and Google Apps. And that's a really powerful combination, particularly for the target firms you're going after, the
You
51 to
can
200
create
employees.
and edit custom objects from email. Like, what? Outreach could never.
Well, product feature request. Can
No,
we
they
hear a
couldn't do it. They couldn't do
bell
it.
ding? Feature request.
No, they couldn't. Just because okay, I'm about to get you can tell me to back off, but like fundamentally, Outreach wants to replace Salesforce.
Ooh, that's a hot take. Tell me about that.
Well, they said it. I went to the Outreach user conference in like 2018, and that's what they said.
Well, I think the good thing about going for the top is that's a big mountain to climb. And even if you don't make it all the way to the top of the mountain, you might make it pretty darn far. And
Yeah, I
that's not a
mean,
bad big aspirational goal to go after.
well, and they're definitely like, objectively speaking, one of the big winner, winner, chicken dinners of the past, like, what, 5 years, 10 years? So, and
Yeah, I'd say that.
you got to give
I
it up
think for the
for
most part,
Manny.
they were used by inside sales. Sales
Yeah.
development reps. It fits the go-to-market motion for many companies. I think it works fairly well. I think the concept of moving up market leads to this concept that I call the super app. And there's so many companies out there who are acquiring one another, and it's starting to feel like, well, these companies are getting big. They have a lot of different feature sets cross-selling to
Yeah.
each other. And I'm curious, what's your take on, what's the new frontier for for startup land in terms of go-to-market tech?
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I just, that's like what you're calling the super app movement. Like, I hate it. I hate it because I see like some of these tools save my freaking life. Like, I owe my career to outreach.io. Like, I could not have become who I am today without it. But it's no longer accessible, not only for like the companies that would need it, but even like the operations teams behind it. Like, when you're trying to put too many things together, you lose that like visceral dynamic thing where you can really control how something works when it's like, oh, it's part of the ecosystem. And it like the promise of AI and being the platform, like what Gong is doing with their platform, and who was it that bought Clary? Was that Outreach? No, it was ZoomInfo.
Clary? I think Clary's acquiring other companies the other way
Clary,
around.
yeah, Clary's acquiring the other
Yeah,
companies.
they
Oh, they're
acquired
acquiring
Wingman.
Gong. I mean, Groove. That's what it was.
Yes, that's
Yeah.
right.
I think I've like blocked it out traumatically. But it's like there's a part of me that just gets so sad. Like for the person who's trying to like, we're at 2 million ARR. We're going for 10 so we can get that Series A. Like, what are you supposed to do? And I
I
guess
think
I'm
there's,
always looking for
yeah.
answer that question. Yeah.
Well, I think the good thing is your point of view is targeted at the small business. And
Yeah.
so they're always trying to operate at the bleeding edge. And they might have to because of pricing, right? These
Yeah.
bigger companies have pricing power. Like I
Yeah.
find it right now in renewal conversations, they're leaning on you in certain price increase and you have no choice. You can't lead
Yeah.
them. But for these other tools, I'm always trying to find an edge. And so staying trying to find these up and comers, you could probably get a good deal. And at the same time, you find that they're innovating. And innovation is what a lot of small companies are looking for.